that we deal with in the book of Exodus is slavery, being enslaved in Egypt for over 400 years, just as had been foretold the descendants of Israel that would happen. And you remember that Pharaoh arose who knew not Joseph, made life miserable for them. They were completely enslaved. And then God's solution when they prayed and cried out to him was a person that he had prepared growing up in Pharaoh's court as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And then after those years in the wilderness, at age 80, God appeared and sent him back with a demand for deliverance. And he came before Pharaoh, made the demand, threw down the staff, turned into a snake. The priests, the sorcerers threw down their staffs, they turned into snakes. And as they looked with self-satisfied smiles at first, Aaron's snake ate all their snakes. And it was kind of a wonderful moment. And I'm sure Aaron and Moses were waiting now for Pharaoh to say, okay, I get it, I surrender. Take the people and go. But of course they didn't. Said, get out of my presence and forget about it. And then they added more work to the slaves so that they had to make bricks without straw. And the people came to Moses and said, thanks a lot. You came to deliver us and our life is now much harder than it was. This is not a cool thing that you're doing. So Moses, of course, turned and went back to God and said, what am I to do? I came to deliver these people and I've made their life worse. And the Lord sent Moses back to announce some interesting experiences which God had arranged for Pharaoh's education. Now I'm going to read a rather long passage from Scripture today. It's one of the more dramatic passages in Scripture. This and Elisha and the priests of Baal are two of the really magnificent pieces of literature in the Old Testament. In Exodus 7, verse 14, the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is unyielding. He refuses to let the people go. Go out to Pharaoh in the morning as he goes out to the water. Wait on the bank of the Nile to meet him, and take in your hand the staff that was changed into a snake. Then say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to say to you, let my people go, so that they may worship me in the desert. But until now you have not listened. This is what the Lord says. By this you will know that I am Yahweh, the Lord. With the staff that is in my hand, I will strike the water of the Nile, and it will be changed into blood. The fish in the Nile will die, the river will stink, the Egyptians will not be able to drink its water. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, take your staff, stretch it out over the streams and canals and ponds and reservoirs, and they'll turn to blood. Blood will be everywhere in Egypt, even in the wooden buckets and the stone jars. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded. He raised his staff, struck the water, and the water was changed into blood. And the fish in the Nile died. And the river smelled so bad that the Egyptians could not drink its water. Blood was everywhere in Egypt. But the Egyptian magicians or sorcerers did the same things by their secret arts. So Pharaoh's heart became hard. He would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. Instead, he turned and went into his palace and did not even take this to heart. And all the Egyptians dug along the Nile to get drinking water because they could not drink the water of the Nile. 7 days passed after the Lord struck the Nile. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will plague your whole country with frogs. The Nile will teem with frogs. They'll come up into your palace, into your bedroom, into your bed, into the house of your officials and your people, and into your ovens and kneading troughs. The frogs will go on you and your people and all your officials. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the streams and canals and ponds and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land. But the magicians did the same things by their secret arts. They also made frogs come up on the land of Egypt. Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, pray to the Lord to take the frogs away from me and my people, and I will let your people go to offer their sacrifices to the Lord. Moses said to Pharaoh, I leave to you the honor of setting the time for me to pray for you and your officials and your people, that you and your houses may be rid of the frogs, except for those that remain in the Nile. Tomorrow, Pharaoh said. Moses replied, it will be as you say, so that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. The frogs will leave you and your houses, your officials and your people, and they will remain only in the Nile. After Moses and Aaron left Pharaoh, Moses cried out to the Lord about the frogs he'd brought on Pharaoh. And the Lord did what Moses asked. The frogs died in the houses, in the courtyards, and in the fields. They were piled into heaps, and the land reeked of them. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the ground, and throughout the land of Egypt, the dust will become gnats, little biting flies. They did this, and when Aaron stretched out his hand with the staff, struck the dust, it came upon men and animals. All the dust throughout the land of Egypt became gnats. But when the magicians tried to produce gnats by their secret arts, they could not. And the gnats were on men and animals. The sorcerers said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not listen, just as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, get up early in the morning, confront Pharaoh as he goes to the water and say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go so they may worship me. If you do not let my people go, I will send swarms of flies on you and your officials, on your people and your houses. The houses of Israel will be full of flies, even the ground where they are. But on that day, I will deal differently with the land of Goshen, where my people live. No swarms of flies will be there, so that you may know that I, the Lord, am in this land. I will make a distinction between my people and your people. This miraculous sign will occur tomorrow. And the Lord did this. Dense swarms of flies poured into Pharaoh's palace and into the houses of his officials, and throughout Egypt, the land was ruined by the flies. Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron, said, go, sacrifice to your God here in the land. But Moses said, that would not be right. The sacrifices we offer to the Lord our God would be detestable to the Egyptians, and if we offer sacrifices that are detestable in their eyes, will they not stone us? We must take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God as he commands us. Pharaoh said, I will let you go to offer sacrifices to the Lord your God in the desert, but you must not go very far. Now pray for me. Moses answered, as soon as I leave you, I'll pray to the Lord, and tomorrow the flies will leave Pharaoh and his officials and the people. Only be sure that Pharaoh does not act deceitfully again by not letting the people go to offer sacrifices. Then Moses left Pharaoh, prayed to the Lord. The Lord did what Moses asked. The flies left Pharaoh and his officials and his people. Not a fly remained. But this time also, Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not let the people go. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says. The God of the Hebrews says, let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them back, the hand of the Lord will bring a terrible plague on you, on your livestock in the field, on your horses and donkeys and camels and cattle and sheep and goats. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and of Egypt so that no animal belonging to the Israelites will die. The Lord set a time and said, tomorrow the Lord will do this in the land. And the next day the Lord did it. All the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one animal belonging to the Israelites died. Pharaoh sent men to investigate and found that not even one of the animals of the Israelites had died. Yet his heart was unyielding and he would not let the people go. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take a handful of soot from the furnace and have Moses toss it into the air in the presence of Pharaoh. It will become fine dust over the whole land of Egypt, and festering boils will break out on men and animals throughout the land. So they took soot from a furnace and stood before Pharaoh. Moses tossed it into the air, and festering boils broke out on men and animals. The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils that were on them and on all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said to Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, get up early in the morning, confront Pharaoh, and say to him, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go, that they may worship me. Or this time I will send the full force of my plagues against you and against your officials and your people, so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. For by now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you off the earth. But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. You still set yourself against my people and will not let them go. Therefore, at this time tomorrow, I will send the worst hailstorm that ever has fallen on Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Give an order to bring your livestock and everything you have in the field to places of shelter, because the hail will fall on every man and animal that has not been brought in and is still out in the field, and they will die. The officials of Pharaoh, who feared the word of the Lord, hurried to bring their slaves and their livestock inside. But those who ignored the word of the Lord left their slaves and livestock in the field. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky so that hail will fall all over Egypt on men and animals and everything growing in the fields. When Moses stretched out his staff, the Lord sent thunder and hail, and lightning flashed down to the ground. So the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. Hail fell and lightning flashed back and forth. It was the worst storm in all the land of Egypt since it had been a nation. Throughout Egypt, hail struck everything in the fields, both men and animals. It beat down everything growing in the fields and stripped every tree. The only place it did not hail was in the land of Goshen, where the Israelites were. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron. This time I have sinned, he said to them. The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. Pray to the Lord, for we have had enough thunder and hail. I will let you go. You don't have to stay any longer. Moses replied, when I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands in prayer to the Lord. The thunder will stop, and there will be no more hail, so that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But I know that you and your officials still do not fear the Lord God. The flax and barley were destroyed, since the barley had headed and the flax was in bloom. The wheat and spelt, however, were not destroyed because they ripen later. Then Moses left Pharaoh and went out of the city. He spread out his hands toward the Lord. The thunder and hail stopped. The rain no longer poured down in the land. When Pharaoh saw that the rain and hail and thunder had stopped, he sinned again. He and his officials hardened their hearts. So Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not let the Israelites go, just as the Lord had said through Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his officials, so that I may perform these miraculous signs of mine among them. And you may tell your children and grandchildren how I dealt harshly with the Egyptians and how I performed my signs among them, that you may know that I am the Lord, Yahweh, I am that I am." So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, "This is what the Lord, the God of heaven, says. How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will bring tomorrow into your country locusts. They will cover the face of the ground so that it cannot be seen. They will devour what little you have left after the hail, including everything, every tree that is growing in your fields. They will fill your houses and those of all your officials and all the Egyptians, something neither you nor your fathers nor your forefathers have ever seen from the day they settled in this land until now." Then Moses turned and left Pharaoh. Pharaoh's officials said to him, "How long will this man be a snare to us? Let the people go so they may worship the Lord their God. Do you not realize that Egypt is ruined?" Then Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh. "Go worship the Lord your God," he said. "But just who will be going?" Moses answered, "We'll go out with our young and our old, our sons and daughters, our flocks and herds, because we are to celebrate a festival of the Lord." Pharaoh said, "The Lord be with you. If I let you go along with your women and children, clearly you are bent on evil. No, have the men go and worship the Lord, since that's what you've been asking for." Then Moses and Aaron were driven out of Pharaoh's presence. And the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over Egypt so that locusts will swarm over the land and devour everything growing in the field, everything left by the hail." So Moses stretched out his staff over Egypt. And the Lord made an east wind blow across the land all that day and all that night. By morning, the wind had brought the locusts. They invaded all Egypt and settled down in every area of the country in great numbers. Never before had there been such a plague of locusts, nor will there ever be again. They covered all the ground until it was black. They devoured all that was left after the hail, everything growing in the fields and the fruit on the trees. Nothing green remained on tree or plant in all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh quickly summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "I've sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now forgive my sin once more and pray to the Lord your God to take this deadly plague away from me." Moses then left Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord, and the Lord changed the wind to a very strong west wind, which caught up the locusts and carried them to the Red Sea. Not a locust was left anywhere in Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let the Israelites go. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward the sky so that darkness will spread over Egypt, darkness that can be felt." So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and total darkness covered all Egypt for 3 days. No one could see anyone else or leave his place for 3 days. Yet the Israelites had light in the places where they lived. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and said, "Go, worship the Lord. Even your women and children may go, but leave your flocks and herds behind." Of course, they had no more flocks or herds left in Egypt. But Moses said, "You must allow us to have sacrifices and burnt offerings to present to the Lord our God. Our livestock too must go with us. Not a hoof must be left behind. We have to use some of them in worshiping the Lord our God. Until we get there, we will not know what we're to use to worship." But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he was not willing to let them go. Pharaoh said to Moses, "Get out of my sight. Make sure you do not appear before me again. The day you see my face, you will die." "Just as you say," Moses replied, "I will never appear before you again." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this magnificent passage that Moses recorded of his experience in dealing with the most powerful man in the earth at that time, the Pharaoh of Egypt. This is a powerful and precious story, and we thank you for it. But it isn't just recorded for our amusement. It is given to us as an instruction and a lesson. Please be among us, Lord Jesus, and by your Holy Spirit, prepare our hearts to hear your word, unlike Pharaoh, that we may be obedient and experience deliverance. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 10 judgments or plagues were visited upon Egypt. We've considered 9 of them this morning, and they're in groups of 3 each. The first 3 were loathsome. They were yucky. Blood, frogs, gnats, miserable. The second 3 involved loss and suffering, biting flies, death of livestock, boils on people and animals. The third 3 were natural disasters, hail, locusts, and darkness. The third plague saw the sorcerers, the priests of Egypt, defeated. The 6th, they were unable to stand before Moses. The 9th saw the separation of Moses and Pharaoh. In the first 3, Aaron used his staff. In the second 3, Moses used his staff or his hand. In the second 2 groups, a distinction appeared between the people of Israel and Goshen and the Egyptians. These 10 plagues covered almost 9 months. We know that from what we're told about them. The first occurred when the Nile would rise and inundate the land before the great Aswan Dam was built. This was in July or August. The 7th was in January, when barley ripens and flax blossoms, and the 10th occurred in April, in the month that later became the month of Passover. Pharaoh's response to the plagues is interesting. After the first, he would not even hear the request for release. After the second, he agreed to let them go if the frogs would go away. In the third, he refused to listen to the sorcerer priest's suggestion, who said this is clearly the finger of God. In response to the fourth, he suggested the Israelites sacrifice in the land. Later, he agreed to let them go, but not far, and then he backed down on his promise. Again, he refused after the 5th and the 6th, and after the 7th, he said they could go if the hail and thunder would stop, but again, he backed down. During the 8th, he offered to let the men go. Only men did the religious things, he said, and even admitted his sin at that point. During the 9th, he agreed to let everyone go as long as they left their animals. The first issue I would consider with you is this: why these plagues? Why these 9 events? What was the purpose of these? The answer is first a theological term, the manifold purpose of God. God is very efficient with his deeds, and they almost always serve multiple purposes. God multitasks with what he does, and it's a manifold purpose. These ultimately induced Pharaoh to send the Israelites out of Egypt. But they demonstrated the power of God to the people of Egypt, who rejoiced to see the people of this powerful God leave their land. They realized that this was not a God to be monkeyed with, and they wanted his people far away from them. You remember when Jesus cast out the demons from the man of Gadara and let them go into the pigs, and the pigs ran down the hill and were destroyed, and the people came out from the city and heard from the shepherds what had happened, and they said, they saw the man who they'd, every year they would have a kind of a roundup, and they would get this guy who ran around screaming naked, destroying things, and they would chain him up. And then shortly after, he would break his chains, and he was just totally out of control. They hadn't been able to do a thing with him. They saw him now sitting, clothed, talking with Jesus, and they saw 2,000 pigs bobbing in the lake. 20 pigs would be a sight, 200 pigs would be something, but 2,000 pigs bobbing in the lake. And they realized the power of Jesus and the values of Jesus, and they said, please leave our town. People have been saying that to Jesus ever since. Very importantly, these plagues demonstrated to the chosen people of God who God was. He was not just another nature God. These plagues were not directed primarily at Pharaoh. They were directed against, nor the people of Egypt. They were directed at the heart of the nature gods of Egypt. Pharaoh was far more than an individual in Egypt. He was the living symbol of a monolithic society that had been in existence for 2,000 years. And we feel very proud of our democracy that has existed for over 200 years. Egypt and the pharaohs had ruled for 2,000 years. Egypt was a proud civilization under their pharaoh's rule, and Pharaoh was the symbol of it all. He ruled supported by the priesthood, for these sorcerers were all called priests, and by the court officials, and the people were mere serfs to do work and carry on. They must have been very pleased when the Israelites became slaves and took over some of the heavier labor. But Moses didn't merely face the stubbornness of one individual, but the weight of a long-established civilization. Pharaoh's particular power was said to result from his descent from Hathor, who was the son of Amun-Re, the sun god. And you see that symbol all over ancient Egypt. Apis, or Hapi, the god of the Nile, was Egypt's particular deity, as prior to the Aswan Dam, the flooding each year inundated the sands for some distance with dirt and mud and enabled them to grow things. The nature gods also included Heget, the goddess of birth, who had a frog's head. Ah. Set, the god of the desert, who was shown as a large insect or gnat. Re, the sun god, was represented by a statue of a fly. Apis, the bull god, was defenseless against the hail, as was Osiris, the god of crops, and Set, the god of storms. Sekhmet, the goddess with power over disease, was no help with the boils. Over the course of these 10 months, these gods of Egypt were shown to be totally powerless against the Lord, against Yahweh. Nature gods are still powerful today in many parts of the world, but also in America. The idea that creation can affect people. Friday the 13th, many people act as if that date would affect them. I myself will never sleep 13 in a bed. People worship Lady Luck in sports all the time. But Israel could not fulfill its purpose in being chosen until it learned that it was not just the people of a local God, but of the real God, the true God, the God who ruled over all. The second observation is that Pharaoh is ultimately seen not as an accidental obstacle to God's purpose, but a God-willed means to demonstrate his power. God's purpose was not to show his power in destruction, but in deliverance. This is a major theme in Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. In Isaiah 40 to 49, we learn that God raised up Cyrus, who does not know him, to be his instrument for Israel's second exodus under Ezra and Nehemiah. As we study Revelation, we see God use even the powers of evil to accomplish his purposes despite their intentions. And as Pharaoh hangs tough, changing his mind, being stubborn, being recalcitrant, even when it has long been apparent to his priests and court officials that the ballgame is totally over, we see an example of a common human trait, the desire to be strong and self-reliant, or at least to appear strong and self-reliant, rather than dependent upon God. How hard it is to say these words, "I am sorry, I was wrong." Pharaoh managed to say these. Problem was, he didn't mean it. He immediately turned around and showed that he didn't really mean it up through the ninth plague. The third question I would have us focus on as we conclude is, what kind of man is Moses? Is he a really nice guy? Now, some of you may do crossword puzzles. Here's a crossword puzzle entry. Five across, biblical character, meek as Moses, that's the old thing, meek as Moses. Now Moses is one of the two people who God the Father brought to meet on the Mount of Transfiguration with his son, just before his son was to undergo crucifixion. Moses and Elijah. Moses, who had stood down Pharaoh, and Elijah, who had stood down the priests of Baal. That's also a wonderful passage to read out loud. Can you imagine how little Pharaoh would like to see Moses on a given morning over that 10-month period? You know, we used to have these things in school where we'd say, what would be the worst thing to see? Well, you're driving and there's a gang of motorcycle guys with Hell's Angels up ahead of you, and all of a sudden your horn sticks. Bad feeling. Or you get up in the morning and you go into work and your secretary says, there's a big team in your waiting room for 60 minutes and they want to interview you. Well, I think that's just a tiny bit of how Pharaoh felt when he would get up and he would see Moses waiting for him. Every time Moses appears, there's big trouble for Pharaoh. And Moses won't compromise. He won't be agreeable to partial or diplomatic solutions. If you thought Pharaoh was stubborn, what about Moses? Pharaoh keeps offering compromises, and let's do this, and maybe just leave the cattle. But Moses will settle for nothing less than what God has demanded. God did not appear to Moses in the desert and call him to come and be a nice guy. Jesus did not say, you are the sugar of the earth. We're to be the salt. He called Moses to be God's man. He had to tell God's message of deliverance to everyone to whom God sent him. Because Moses was obedient, even though he felt inadequate, deliverance was accomplished. You and I have also been called to speak the message of deliverance in our time and to the people around us. And you and I feel totally inadequate, as Moses did. But will we be obedient? Or will we listen to the lies of the father of lies and try to be seen as nice people, not wishing to offend or be disliked and feared as Moses came to be? Will we be obedient that deliverance can follow? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the deliverance that you offer to all who are lost and wandering or enslaved or living in darkness. At great price, you have purchased deliverance, freedom, salvation, and you have made us your witnesses to be light in darkness, to be salt in this world, and to speak the truth of your freedom. Help us not to listen to the siren song of being invisible nice folk who cause no waves, but to be obedient and be a part of the deliverance that you are eager to deliver to our families, our friends, our co-workers, our city, and our nation. All this we ask, Lord Jesus, in your powerful name. Amen.